Fred Film Radio.
This year's Barcelona Film Festival recently took place, and here to tell us all about it is David Mitjans, who is a member of its board. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure. So right off the bat, this is the first time we get to speak with a representative of the Barcelona Film Festival. Would you be able to maybe introduce it for us so that we have a better sense of what it looks like? Maybe tell us a bit about its history and its mission statement, so to speak.
Yeah, totally. This we finished the festival last week on April 23rd. This was the fifth edition of the festival. We began in 2017, so we are a young festival, but a festival that it's growing step by step, and it's a festival that it's always around Sant Jordi Day. The name of the festival is Barcelona Film Fest Sant Jordi, and in Catalonia, well, everywhere in the world, Sant Jordi is the International Day of the Book. So then the festival, the official selection of the festival, is focused on literary adaptations and biopics and movies based on history, no? History events. So we always are really close to the books. So then for this reason we are there in Sant Jordi Day.
So I mean, that is the festival's characteristic and distinctive trait as far as its mission statement is concerned. The films that are presented are somehow related to books in one way or another, or the literary world.
Yeah, because, well, in Barcelona there are many small festivals, so then there was this gap about literature, and we thought that it could be interesting. Think that when we talk about literature can go from manga, Japanese manga, from comics, so many books, many movies are based in literature or are based in a theater play, so then it's easy to find a really interesting lineup.
Aside from that, what do you think makes Barcelona a great city for a festival like this one?
Well, we think that the position of the festival in April is really interesting because, as happens in many territories, the autumn after summer there are plenty of festivals. For example, in Spain we have San Sebastian Film Festival in September, Sitges Film Festival, the Genre Festival in October, Valladolid, Sevilla, so many festivals in autumn, after Cannes and Venice, but really few festivals in spring. So then in Spain, we have Malaga Film Festival focused in Spanish movies, but then we believe that there is this important gap and we can fill with our festival. And then Barcelona is a fantastic city in spring. It's really lighty and we have the feeling that it's easy to organize the festival. Well, of course, with the pandemic, everything becomes more complicated. And then we have the feeling that when you want to invite international talent, invite international talent to Barcelona, it's an interesting option to spend 2 or 3 days for the big names.
You mentioned the pandemic. Now it's only inevitable that we should get into how the festival has responded to these difficult times. Of course, we are recording this interview a few days after the conclusion of the festival. And so how did it take place, so that the listeners know? Did it take place online, in person, a bit of both?
No. The festival was 100 face-to-face or physical or presential. I don't know how to say, but it was 100%. Think that it's a festival that it's organized by a cinema. So the idea of the cinema is that people need to go to the cinemas, to the theaters, to see the movies. In the fourth edition last year, it was scheduled for April, and then we were forced, due to the pandemic, to delay the festival. And the festival was also physical, presential, in June. Of course, in the last June, we only had national talent from Catalonia or from Spain. It was impossible to bring people outside Spain due to the restrictions. But this year, again, the festival was presential. And then in this case, we were able to bring international talent. We were fighting with some important things. For example, in Catalonia, there is a curfew at 10 p.m. So it means that we had to finish all the screening at 10. So it means that our last screening time was around 8 or a quarter past 8. So it was a problem because, of course, we had to reduce the number of screenings, and we lost one of the important screenings, that is the evening screening, no? And then also in Catalonia, all the restaurants and bars close at 5 p.m. So it means that when people was going to the cinema or when people was leaving the cinema, they were not able to go to drink or to have dinner, no? So, well, there were some things important for the working of the festival. And then, of course, for the presence of talent, we were able to bring Johnny Depp and Isabelle Huppert, for example, but all of them were forced to realize to do a PCR test before coming to Spain, and then, of course, PCR test in Barcelona before leaving and going home.
Right. And in terms of the screenings themselves, were there any security measures?
The good point about this is that the cinemas in Barcelona have been open from November. So then from November until now, the restrictions in the cinemas has been, of course, bringing masks during the screenings, keeping the distance, and the capacity of the cinemas are at 50%. So another problem of this festival has been that we only were able to put 50% of the capacity, no? So then let's less money from tickets, no? But well, with the distance, with cleaning the screening rooms before and after the screenings, and with 50% of capacity, we were able to go ahead. These are the normal measures that have been in the commercial screenings since November in Barcelona.
Considering all of these difficulties, then, are you happy with the way things went, especially in the way in which audiences have responded to the festival? Was the attendance good?
Yeah. The attendance, we increased 40% the admissions, so we're more than 11,000 admissions, thinking that the curfew on the 50% of capacity was clearly damaging this, but really happy. And I believe it was 97 out of 121 screenings were sold out.
Wow.
So we are pretty sure that without the 50% restrictions in occupancy, we would have a lot of more people in the screening rooms. But of course, these restrictions were there.
The numbers are great, which also, I guess, speaks to the fact that the audience in Barcelona generally responds well to film events like this.
It's true that sometimes it seems that people prefer to go to a festival than sometimes going to a commercial movie screening, no? Because it seems that when you go to a festival, you are going to something special. It's also true that in our festival, we always try to do a Q&A after the movie. So then if we have talent, if we have Isabelle Huppert, or we have a Spanish talent, when we bring people to the festival, then not only do a presentation, because a presentation it's okay, but you know, a presentation it's 5 minutes, and then the audience has not seen the movie before. So then it's difficult to be really interesting. But after screening the movie, we have done Q&As. Also this year we did the only virtual thing that we did was a virtual Q&A with Nicholas Winding Refn, the Danish director, because we presented Valhalla Rising, and Nicholas Winding Refn was confirmed to come to Barcelona, but in Denmark the restrictions to travel are really strong, and when you come back to Denmark you need to do a 10 or 12 days quarantine, and then at the end Nicholas Winding Refn was not able to come, but we did a virtual Q&A. And then, when you have a screening and then you have a Q&A, always it's interesting. So more interest to go to the screening.
Great. So I'd love to get into the program of the festival a bit more. But before we do, I noticed one thing, that the poster figure, so to speak, for the festival this year was Jackie Coogan from The Kid, directed by one of my heroes, Charlie Chaplin. So, I mean, I just have to ask you, was there a particular reason for that?
Yeah, well, this year it's the 100th anniversary of the release of The Kid. In 1921. So then, the section that every year we dedicate to classics, this year was dedicated to Chaplin. We screened 10 Chaplin movies and 7 shorts. So then we thought that the face of the kid, the Chaplin's the kid, will be fantastic. And then for people who doesn't know the poster, we took one still of the kid, and then we put this kid in a cinema, no? So we have the face of the kid, this face with open eyes, seeing a screening in a cinema. And we wanted to transmit that cinema is necessary, and putting this classic face in a modern cinema.
Awesome. I love that. I absolutely love that. That concept, and also to see that Charlie Chaplin's legacy lives on also through the programming of some of the festivals around the world, including the Barcelona Film Festival. But it's time to get into more contemporary times, let's say. As I mentioned earlier, we are recording this interview a few days after the end of the festival. So I think a good place to start might be, would you be able to tell us who or what films were some of the big winners of this year's edition?
The winner film, it was Petit Pays. This is a French film of Eric Barbier about the war in Rwanda. And it's a war seen from the point of view of a kid. No? And then the movie is based on a really bestseller book, Petit Pays, from Gaël Faye in France. And then, it was the winner movie of this edition. The actor was Ulrich Thomsen for The Good Traitor, a movie based on Second World War and the Danish ambassador in Washington. And about the actress, it was the actress of Petit Pays, Isabel Cabano, and the actress of The Good Traitor. It was an ex aequo award, and about the critic award, it was for Sombra, the world premiere of a Portuguese movie about a mother that is looking for his son that was kidnapped when it was young. And what more? And for the script, the best script was for Yalda, a movie that was presented in Berlin last year, an Iranian movie.
Just to tell our listeners that we actually have an interview with the director and the lead actress Ana Moreira of Sombra, if they'd like to know more about it. So just a little self-promotion there. Other talent available on Fred Film Radio. Are there any other films from the festival that you feel are highlights and that you'd like to mention in our little overview?
Yeah, we were able to open with Promising Young Woman, that a movie with 5 Oscar nominations. So it was an important title, and it's funny because last year in June we closed the festival with Son of Metal, that it has it had 6 Oscar nominations, and we opened this edition with Promising Young Woman. No, so we did a link having US movies with nominations. No, so then this is important, and then of course I believe that this edition was clearly marked for 2 stars. Johnny Depp that present in the festival Minamata, in Spanish is El Fotógrafo de Minamata, and then the movie was in official selection, and then Isabel Huppert presented also in official selection La Daron, comedy and a noir comedy also based on a book. So having Isabel Huppert and Johnny Depp, of course it was important.
That sounds great. Just to kind of, as a final question, given all of the difficulties that you guys have had to overcome for the past while, especially because of the pandemic and some of the things that you've had to adapt to in recent times, what's your hopes for the future, for a future edition of the festival? Do you see things improving by the time that the next edition of the festival will arrive?
We hope, because after the last difficult for the pandemic reasons editions, we hope that next year there will not be curfews for sure. Restaurants and shops around the cinemas will be open. I have more doubts about the masks. So I don't know what will happen, but I have the strange feeling that maybe the cinemas the occupancy of the cinemas will not be 50, maybe will be 80, or maybe will be 100%. But I have the feeling that maybe our society will be forced to bring masks in public places, no? So I have, but this is a feeling, I don't know, no? So nobody told this, but I have the feeling that in the future, when we take the underground or when we take the bus, maybe we will be forced to bring masks. And maybe when we go to the cinemas or maybe when we go to a concert, we also will be forced. I don't know. But then I have the sensation, the feeling that there are audiences, there are people that they don't want to bring the mask to see a movie. So then this will be keep something like a wall for some audiences. No, they will prefer maybe to be at home, comfortable in the sofa, seeing movies in platforms, because at home you don't need to bring the mask. So I don't know this point, but if we don't have curfews and at least we can have 70 or 100% of occupancy, it will be a big jam, no? And of course, for talent, if people can travel from the US, from Denmark, from the UK without PCR tests and without quarantines, it will also be a big help.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to tell what will happen even in the near future. So a year from now, it's almost impossible. But one thing is for sure, I definitely wish you all the best with all that's going on. And, fingers crossed for next year's edition of the Barcelona Film Festival. David, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Matt. And I hope that in 12 months, we talk again.
Fingers crossed. In person.
In person.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.